Welcome to The Foodie, podcast for food creatives and clients who need them.
Welcome, everybody.
Thanks for coming to join us this evening.
Yes, thank you for joining us this summer evening. We have here with me today, Director of Photography, Stephen Moses, who brings his extensive experience in food advertising industry. He worked on TV commercials for pretty much any major fast food brand in the United States, and he is the veteran in his field, making those commercials before anybody even heard about them, before Instagram emerged. Stephen are going to share his insight about the industry with us today, and we are going to focus on a lot of different things. So please say hi to everybody.
Hello. Thank you for joining us this evening.
And my name is Mara Fali, and I'm a founder of Foodie, which is the platform that I'm recording this podcast for. Foodie is dedicated to any type of food creative endeavors and food advertising and marketing. It's a network for food photographers, food directors, food stylists, people that develop recipes for brands, and anything that is related to creating something for marketing purpose for food and beverage industry. So podcast is meant to educate marketers about creativity that is available on the market, and talking to people like Stephen is supposed to help them. There's so much new brands emerging, so many new products and confusion on the market. We hope to clarify all these things people don't know about. I'm going to be asking a lot of questions that he probably doesn't want to hear, but he will have to answer. We're going to start. My first question to Stephen is, what is camera motion control and high-speed cameras? Can you just please explain that to a food and beverage marketer who never heard about it?
So motion control is literally making a camera move in a very precise way and being able to do it over and over again exactly the same, so that it gets from point A to point B in exactly the same amount of time. And high speed motion control is getting from point A to point B really, really fast using a camera that's a slow motion camera, so that you can capture some kind of action in slow motion with the camera moving around it and capturing that on the screen when you want to do it on the shoot day. We used to do those sorts of things when I started out in this business, 20, 30, 40 takes trying to get the rose petal to fall down the middle of the screen because the cameras couldn't see it. Now we nail it. We have devices that drop the rose petal exactly at the exact same time. The camera comes around at the exact same time and gets that. So you catch all of these images that you couldn't get before. That's what motion control is. It can be anything from stop motion animation, where you're doing things frame by frame, to super high speed, slow motion, where you've got like a beer pouring and the camera's coming around the bottle from the back of the bottle to the front bottle and following down into the glass just as fast as gravity.
Can you briefly explain in like a quick sentence, why is this kind of motion specifically good for food and beverage? And why it's called tabletop? Because those are small objects that you can shoot on the tabletop,
right,
on the kitchen tabletop or the kitchen counter. Why is it mostly suitable, became very popular in this kind of industry and field?
It got to be very popular because doing a tabletop, high speed, slow motion photography allows you to see the details of the different textures, the hard things meeting the soft things, the things bouncing.
Examples. Can you give me some examples? Quick examples. We're going to...
We were just doing something with coffee beans this week. And we had a table with a... Can't tell you who, but we had a table with a ring of coffee beans, and it lifted up and they were flying through the air. And then we had animation that was happening while the stuff was up in the air and the stuff was on the table. We had all kinds of things happening at the same time. And so that was something that you just can't do any other way than to have do it with motion control so that your camera follows the same path both times. But basically, it's the camera doing this, being able to do the same thing precisely over and over again. And the other thing about doing close-ups and food, and people love to do really juicy texture close-ups of food, is that if you do photography, you know that there's very limited depth of field and you got to get your focus just right. And with a motion control system, you get your focus exactly right every single time. So when you make a perfect hamburger or you have a perfect cheese pull, you have those things, the camera's always right. As a cinematographer and a camera operator, there's nothing that you hate more than like having the focus not be right, or you didn't get the camera to the right place at the right time.
And not having the right part of the food being
not hitting the right part of the food at the right time. And so now we plan that out, we nail it each time, and then we can blame somebody else if it's not right. It's not the
cinematographer.
It's not the cinematographer's fault, but no, it takes a lot of stress off of food stylists. It might take a little bit more to get it set up, but you save on the repetition of all the takes that you would have to do.
Okay. So to kind of bring you closer to the subject of motion control and robot systems in advertising for food and beverage industry, we decided to present case studies from Steven's portfolio because some of these projects are very time-consuming and budget-consuming, and some of them are more simple. We wanted to kind of introduce different type of content that he did in his career and explain how they can be utilized by different brands, by different type of food products, how they are suitable for certain type of things, and how they are not suitable for different, and basically go case by case. I will play the video, then Steve-El will explain a little bit, and then I will ask a lot of questions about it.
When you can get a steak patty on anything, why not get it on everything? McMuffin, McGriddles, bagel, or biscuit. Buy one juicy breakfast sandwich and get one free, only on the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
So first, Steven, tell me why this commercial, actually, this is probably social media ad or no, that was actually for the
ad. Actually, I'm not positive. I believe that it was both social media as well as broadcast. I don't know what it is now. It started out as a regional McDonald's campaign that I shot for Bubba's LA. Ian Nelson was the director on this. It was a very modest budgeted commercial. The challenge was to get so many, in this case, so many different variations of four sandwiches, four shots, four different, this is one example, but there were like 24 different scenes that we needed to capture. And we figured out a way to, with motion control, to do all the shots that had pretty close to the same lighting in the same groupings. So we basically do four different camera moves on four sandwiches and then swap the sandwiches around. And we did that four times. And that way we could get a huge amount of content featuring one sandwich each time. And there would always be the same space on the screen so that they could very economically put the same graphics in. I don't know if that that makes sense, but if you were trying to do this without motion control, by the time you did all those takes, your sandwiches
would be dead.
They die. Beauty food does not last in front of the camera very
long.
And
the more time for food stylists, this is the bigger budget. So this is kind of taking a shortcut, making it more streamlined, and also switching the sandwiches and having the same movement program each time. Allows for a lot of time saving and
a lot of there's
and precision
a lot of,
and focus on the right side of the sandwich or food item, right?
Right. So each time the sandwiches are in the right spot, the lens is focused on the right spot, the time is exactly the right amount of time so that you get all these perfect 6-second commercials.
So I guess this kind of shots, speaking from the brand standpoint, whether it's a fast food chain or some kind of fast casual, if somebody had other food items like sandwiches, burgers, bowls, burritos, you could use the same technique, exactly present the menu item by item from the menu and kind of do the same thing and program depend on the shape and the size of the product, right?
Right. And so this was very time efficient. If you want to start making things more dynamic.
Dynamic meaning that adding some extra details.
So if you were going to have somebody put the sandwich in, like for the featured sandwich at the end of the camera, at the end of the move, that adds time, that adds another person, that adds something to the budget.
And time for figuring out the motion of the,
exactly.
of the hand model and the time. So the more static the image, the more static content, the less work for you, the less work for stylist, the less work for the director.
Right. The more you can simplify it with motion control, the more budgetarily conservative you can be.
Which is a huge factor nowadays with all the places that the brand has to deliver content to and also place things on display in their restaurants and things like that. This is kind of the most conservative, budget-efficient option for any type of restaurant chain or anybody that wants to feature food dishes, right?
Right. This would be is a super efficient approach. One of the reasons that we at Robot, we got this system, which is a Bolt Junior Plus. It's a system that plugs right into the wall, and literally we can go to anybody's test kitchen, a restaurant kitchen, any restaurant, we can plug our system into the wall. But what this does is it lets you have an assembly line for
assembly line, not for just making food, but also shooting the food.
Right. So for certain kinds of projects where you're trying to get the maximum amount of content, then
in the minimum amount of time.
And people helping, that this is a way that you can do that.
Okay, so from my perspective as a creative director, this is excellent type of shots and content for restaurant brands, anybody that offers sandwiches and some kind of provisions for people.
Ice cream, you can do it.
Well, ice cream would be more tedious. We're going to go back to...
All right, we'll talk about ice cream later.
Styling ice cream is a separate thing. And if you are selling it, you cannot fake it, really. So
we're gonna go back
to ice cream at the very end because this is probably the most consuming.
But it's my favorite thing to shoot is ice cream because then we have all this ice cream to eat
when it's melted already. When it was sitting on set for 5 hours.
Just the ugly ice cream, I'll eat it.
Anyway, so we are going to go to the second type of content that you can shoot with the motion control systems, and this is gonna be something completely different.
Here you see the Mark Roberts Flare software is sending positional information on the robot as well as the turntable to the Unreal Engine software so that it can move the computer-generated background.
Okay, so this is our second thing. And tell me, what do you think was important about this type of content?
So what's important about this is a new, fairly new area that is referred to as virtual production, which is becoming very popular. You hear it talked about a lot, people shooting in a place called a volume. What it really is filming your product in front of a video screen. In this case, you have a video screen that has computer generated imagery on there, just like you would have in a video game. And the robot and the turntable are sending information that would essentially be like goggles that you would be wearing if you were playing a game. And by having the turntable rotate and sending that information along with the robot's motions to this software called Unreal Engine, you can control a background and you can create a background, you can buy a background, almost any kind of place you can imagine, and that becomes your location. And so we were able to do a 360-degree move around something, around a rum bottle in a pub and a rum bottle on a beach in Tahiti. And this all happened because we kept it pretty simple, very reasonably. You can get very elaborate and create custom generated backgrounds. And then,
so from the brand standpoint, you are a beverage brand, for example, vodka, and you want to place that vodka in some kind of environment that people drink vodka. I don't know, Russian bar.
You can be inside an igloo.
You can create an environment. You can bring it to the fjords of Norway and keep it right in the top of the glacier. You can basically bring the experience you want your customer to experience in the form of that virtual background. But how is this background delivered? Do you order that like a stock photography, or you can custom design it? Who manufactures this digital backgrounds?
So the digital backgrounds, there are libraries of virtual digital backgrounds that you can go through. You can add props to them. You can buy props. We had a pub. We had kegs. We added signs. We had tables. You do all these things. You create your lighting afterwards. It's like a blank three-dimensional computer generated animation space, and it's all rendered by computers while you're filming. It works out really well and really cost effective for transparent products that have some amount of transparency.
Something that's made out of glass.
Something that's made out of glass, which is super difficult to deal with as a green screen or a blue screen. You'd want to do some kind of compositing. It's a nightmare with reflective things, but virtual production, Unreal Engine, works beautifully.
You don't have to build all the expensive set bars that used to cost so much money.
You don't have to go there. You just need to figure out what you want in advance and work with digital artists to either source what you're looking for. For both of those locations, this is not specific. We weren't getting really, really complicated, or demanding, but all the assets in that cost about $100, mm-hmm. which is really like shockingly, I was shocked to hear how inexpensive it was. And we could move the volleyball net, we could move the lights, we could move the beach chairs, we could move the kegs, we could move the lights around inside the bar, all that stuff.
So basically you are actually digitally designing the space to your liking.
Right.
Not just you just don't get the ready project. You get to choose the elements and their placements and.
Right, right.
And what about the lighting and basically shooting the product itself? Can you also do things that are not translucent or glass made? Is it suitable for other forms of like beverages or food products?
It's very suitable for all sorts of food products. The limitation, and we're starting to make some progress in this, is you cannot do too much slow motion work. Mm-hmm. There are people that are working on ways to get the backgrounds to render fast enough to do slow motion photography. So right now it's mostly real time. What we were doing is like 24 frames per second. Mm-hmm. I think you can go up to 48 frames a second. But you know.
So if in terms of special effects, you can't bring too much to the fall. The only special effect is just that you can be in many places.
You can be many places. You can do many special effects.
Yeah.
You can have things timed to happen at the same time. You can't do this with the slow motion beer pour right now. Yet there might be people who are watching that will say, I can do that, but it's
not. He's an expert, so he's telling you he's one of the most experienced people, so he's telling you the truth. But also, can you program the robot to go around the package and show different parts of the label.
And so if you have a non-transparent subject, but you want to put it in an environment, you can put it on a turntable and have the background rotating around, and mm-hmm. you can move in on different close-ups and pull back. And
so you basically have to move the object, not the if you move the camera around the subject.
It's a little bit of both. That's like what the director of photography figures out with the director and the creative director. It's a little bit of a dance, like two people. You got your product. You could rotate the product. If you're getting really fancy, you could have lights on a upside down turntable that are rotating around with it.
You can make some special lighting effects too, like some kind of flashes through the glass or special reflections and things like that.
Exactly.
If you want to emphasize the color of your drink or texture or something like that.
Right. If you wanted it to look like you were in a diner and it was daytime and there were cars going by and you were getting reflections off their windshields, you could have like bright lights that would come through and make flares on the lens.
And then you are in like a nightclub kind of disco 70s, you can also emulate the disco light,
disco ball light
reflections,
exactly.
Things
right.
Like that.
You can put some atmosphere, a little smoke in there. You can have all sorts of things happening, and it will look amazingly realistic.
And now we are gonna go to video with the bottle beverage.
So this is a demonstration of a couple of different motion control techniques at the same time. So this has got stop motion photography of the bottles rotating around. And we had the bottles adjusted so that they were always facing the lens. And they have a little bit of a quirky motion to them so that it has a more authentic feeling to it, more like they're dancing. And then we're using the ability of the robot to do a camera move where we can sweep in close and then lift up above and create this circle of the bottles and then turn that into the circle of a
liquid
swirling
vortex.
Liquid vortex of the soda going down, like the point of view from the inside of the bottle going down into the glass.
So that idea perhaps could be useful for some brands that make canned or bottle beverages, and they have a variety of different flavor profiles.
Right.
And you want to show how many colors they have and the texture by circling the object, and then whatever you call the liquid vortex. Liquid vortex. This is just the tabletop jargon. You can show how by using this technique, you can use how refreshing this is. This is used by a lot of big brands, but it's quite simple. I guess, as you could see in the BES, you just need the funnel and a little bit of...
You just need a funnel and a couple of hoses and a cut-off bottle and you're done. It's like no
problem.
And
everybody knows that how refreshing your drink is. So would you use that for carbonated drinks or for drinks that are flat, more like teas, or like from your perspective, the brands are using this technique of vortex?
It's a visually interesting transitional element. It gets your color all over the screen. Whatever the color of your beverage is, you get it all over the screen. This can be used for spirits, it can be used for soft drinks, it can be used for juices, motor oil. There are all kinds of things that
motor oil
that the vortex liquid swirling around
It's something that draws you into the beverage.
It pulls you into that, and then you can move on to your, you know, resolving into a product sequence where you see there, since nobody really knows what it looks like from the point of view of the bottom of a bottle, I hope this gives you an, you know, imagination of what that would be. We've seen this from beer bottles to
Talk about the carbonation. Like, if you wanted to do the vortex, because this is very popular, is that technique used for carbonated drink? If you want to show the carbonation, this is something that is,
you spend a little time in advance before the shoot day and you figure out how much carbonation you have to release from your subject drink in order to have it not be all foamy. If it's a big foamy thing,
so like beer?
Beer, you just want to have enough foam so that you see the bubbles. You want to see the right amount of foam. So you're controlling the temperature of the drink. And probably if you're getting a beer out of bottles, you might really be having the beer at a, you know, specific temperature and then taking the top off of it for, you know, you're setting a stopwatch.
So this
is a minute and 47 seconds, and then you're at 42 degrees, and then you're pouring it into the funnel, and it goes down through the tubes, and it will, you try to do it so that you're repeating it the same way each time. You're trying to reduce your variables. It's like a high school science experiment.
And the food stylists, experienced food stylists who work with this type of content, they have a lot of, all kinds of tricks and techniques. They know what temperature to get the best results and also what kind of add-ons to use to create specific effects too.
Food stylists are the photographer's best friend. They make you look good and they keep the food under control. I mean, the food stylists that work with specific brands have experience with those subjects and how they, when somebody says we need to do some kind of crazy new motion with it, they'll have a lot of good information about what will and won't work with that. So I always trust the food stylists, and I personally encourage more money to go into the food part of the art department. I don't want to like say
it's worth every penny.
I want more money to go into that than almost any other department, because that's just like your movie star. You know, people pay millions of dollars for their movie stars. Your food is your star. You want to like have that. That's your most important item. That's your prop. That's your dancing girl, boys.
That's right. So this takes us to the next subject.
The next subject, French fries.
The French fries. And this is different food subject.
The world is raving about Grown in Idaho Super Crispy Fries. Linda Payne calls these fries absolute crack. Crispy writes, "These fries remind me of myself, Crispy." Devin the Shredder eloquently refers to them as boyoing. And Baker the Chicken Man writes, "The crinkle cut slaps hard." We don't even know if that's good. 100% Idaho-grown Super Crispy Fries. Try them and you'll understand.
I specifically want to talk about it. What, from your point of view, is different about shooting this kind of ad than the previous ones?
So this ad, one of the main differences, this is a very textural and super macro kind of thing.
So very texture, product focus.
Yeah, product focus. The French fries, the appetite appeal of French fries is like how they feel in your mouth, and you really want to feel that like crunchiness.
You don't want a soggy.
Nobody wants a soggy
French fries. You want a crispy and golden brown.
Right. You want it to taste like it's golden brown and it's crispy like that. Like the little flakes are flying off of this. It's another project I did at Bubba's. This one I directed and Ian Nelson produced it. And it was a very fun project. And we used some very unusual lenses that I have, which are adapted microscope lenses from an Infinity Optics.
Because to get that close to the subject, you need the micro lens.
You need a lens. And if you noticed, there's an incredible depth of field. So having things close and far, all in focus, when we see that valley of French fries, as was described in the boards when we saw them, you needed to come up with an idea that showed that valley and how big it was. And we described how we were going to do it well enough so that we got the job, which is the hardest part of any of these commercials, is getting the job. Doing the job is not as hard as getting the job.
And what about emotion when it comes to this kind of subject, like French fries, chips? Because this micro shots are often used for shooting products that are CPG products as well, like chips. You see the crunchy chips coming out of the bag, being thrown in the bowl.
And so using motion control before you have like the whole crew there, you can figure out all your camera moves. You can figure out a lot of your camera moves in advance with the motion control system. I can't, because I have one right here, but we can figure out all those things, and it shaves off a lot of time on the shoot day. If you're starting each scene like a brand new thing that you haven't seen before, it could take a long time. But if you've figured out some things in advance, you can schedule out your stuff. So like this, you shoot everything in one day.
So the texture, the crispiness, it's basically this type of macro shots are perfect for products that are crispy. You want to show the crunch, for fried products. We have another ad. Yeah,
and one other thing is that some of that crispy stuff that's flying around there, some of it's added later. So we'll do like plates of things that are, you know, just little crispy things flying around.
Anything that is fried and you want to show the same type of texture,
right?
This kind of shots are perfect for.
Right.
Also, maybe products like breakfast cereal and granola, things that are being poured in the bowl of milk and landing on a soft bed of milk or yogurt or something like that. Is that something that the brands that are manufacturing this kind of product could use this type of content to feature qualities of their product?
Yes, for sure.
So micro shots, textures, close-up, and all these things, so-called food porn.
Food porn. All right, so this is the next one, is the fresh baked bread.
The next one is fresh baked bread, and it's a little bit more advanced.
These buns aren't baking in a factory or at a McDonald's, Burger King, or Wendy's. There's only one place to get them. Introducing fresh baked buns. Baked fresh in restaurant. Served on $6 thick burgers with 100% black Angus beef. Only at Carl's Jr.
We're looking at a motion control time lapse, which is another useful technique with photographing food, especially foods that are, you have baking. Things that happen inside of microwave oven.
You want to show process of cooking, of preparation, of how the bread is being made from raw dough, rising and then becoming brown, and basically making all this appetizing process through the lens of the camera, right?
Right. As imagery becomes more competitive, you're competing with whoever is doing the most beautiful stuff. So you want to be able to show things baking in the oven or in the microwave, and the camera moving around it. It's not just like a still frame, which is a lot of what you see on Instagram. But if you have more of a budget and you can have your camera moving around in a time-lapse world, you can do things like that. I've done that for movies as well as in commercials where
sometimes you see scenes in the movie when you're having cake baked in the oven, and especially this type of shots require special equipment because you need to shoot that from the other side. You need to have the oven that has glass door, and I shot
oven scenes for a movie called Labor Day, where they were making some kind of a pie. Somebody who was abducted was forced to make a pie, and they're making a pie under a lot of stress. We did the pie in a glass oven and photographed it baking and time lapse, and and the pie looked beautiful.
And of course, this is not for everybody, but the brands that are trying to position themselves as a next players in the bread industry, or their sandwiches are bread braised. That was Carl's Jr., but there are restaurants that are famous for their bread sandwiches, and that's something that can be featured this way.
Yes.
And also pizza too, because you can show process of baking pizza in the same way. We're gonna show that, I guess, a little bit later, or maybe now. Do you want to show the pizza thing too?
Is the pizza thing the next thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a study hall, an art studio, a racetrack, and a storage space. So Papa Murphy's has an idea. How about tonight you turn it into a dinner table? Fill your table with a hot from your oven Papa Murphy's pizza, scratch made dough, real mozzarella, and market fresh meats and veggies. Home bake a large Papa Murphy's cowboy, just $11. Fresh made, fresh baked. Papa Murphy's, love at 425 degrees.
So this is the Papa Murphy's similar time-lapse technique.
So there's a time-lapse technique, and then that was a very good illustration of having the camera do the same camera motion duplicated. So we had a table and a family that was sitting at the table, and we had the table like locked down so it wouldn't move. And you could redress the table, move the kids, the family around the table, put new stuff on it, backpacks, pizzas, whatever, and then dissolve through those. And you have a passage of time and unifying all sorts of ideas, because you're doing just one camera motion with a lot of different elements. And then we did the same thing inside of an oven. It's a rented item. It's like a glass convection oven. It's all four sides, and the top are all tempered glass so that
you can cook in it and you can shoot in it.
You can cook in it and you can shoot in it. It's a joy to work with.
Again, the specialty food style is required for this kind of stuff. For cheese pulls, any products that requires cheese, that's a specialty skill too. Make it melted and make it pull, stretch in a way that looks appealing. That's something a lot of brands that make dairy products and pizza brands and sandwiches as well, something that can be utilized in this kind of shots.
There are a lot of very specific skills and experience that different food stylists have. And motion
to
work.
A cheese wall.
Oh yeah, in the cheese world, in the pizza world, it's still photography is different than motion. It's very different. I wouldn't say they're disciplines, but they're different experience levels, because people have a lot of time to practice their different things. But when things are moving around, it's different than when things are locked off in stills. So it's different. If you're choosing a food stylist to do a motion pizza commercial, you probably want to make sure that they have some examples of that on their website.
And then every brand really has its own idea of pizza. You know, there are pizzas that look more polished, there are pizzas look more rustic. Every brand should go visually with their own product appearance. And that's something that food style is actually.
And everybody just wants to know what you want. What does the brand want? What are they going for? How rustic do they want it?
Do they want it to look like frozen pizza, more like Pizza Hut, or more like handmade pizza from Italy, or more like round table pizza that is filled with toppings, or more cheesy, or
exactly.
So basically it's up to the brand to define the creative direction, because there's no one look that fits all pizzas.
There's no one look, but if
the technique of showing pizza through the motion control can be the same, because every pizza has to be crusty and the cheese has to be cheesy and it has to be fresh. The ingredient cannot look stale on the pizza. So it's
right. I work on campaigns for long periods of time where they're maintaining the same campaign. As part of one of the ideas of a campaign is that you do the same thing, or you stick with the same theme over and over and over again, so that when people just see a second of it, they know it's your brand. And
they recognize your product. it's all about the product, really, and how to feature it.
Right.
And make it memorable.
Right. And the colors and the way you photograph it.
Which take us to the last video, which is most tricky product in the world of tabletop, I consider ice cream. Not only it's very difficult to style and very difficult to shoot because of its nature.
It's got a temporal thing going with it. And we'll look at this.
Deliciously decadent milkshakes. Your favorite flavor sundae. Join together to create a new, one-of-a-kind treat. Enjoy twice the flavor and twice the fun with our new sundae shakes, only at Baskin-Robbins. There's something new at Baskin-Robbins. Choose a cookie or brownie crust. Add your favorite ice cream flavor and tasty toppings for an ice cream treat you eat like pizza. New Polar Pizza from Baskin-Robbins. Grab one today or order online.
So the pizza is a special subject because it has to be frozen. It has to be look.
And this was ice
like
cream.
Fresh pizza. Ice cream pizza. So it has to look frozen, right? It cannot be melted.
This was a project that I did for Will Hyde at a company called Strange and Wonderful for Baskin-Robbins. And we wanted to make a really strange and wonderful camera move around that sundae, which we did with a robot from Camera Control, a different robot than what I have. My robot would never do that shot. We'd use a robot called a Milo, which allows you to spin the camera like that. We used a phantom camera like this one, 1,000 frames a second that we could speed ramp so that we could take it from like normal speed to super slow motion and back to super slow motion again. Ice cream is a great subject to use with motion control in particular because it is so temporary. It's a subject that you want to get just as it starts to melt. I always feel like I want to photograph it so that it's just starting to melt because you feel like you just want to grab it and lick the ice cream before it drips. Just want to get to it because it's like at that perfect moment of being frozen and softening up, and it's going to be at its most delicious point in it, and it is such a short period of time. So by using motion control equipment, you get it, your subject in there, and you hit the button, and it's like now, and then your camera does everything. You know, in our case, we had a rig that was dropping a cherry into the top of the whipped cream, and then the camera does this big spin around it. It was a lot of fun to do, and we had a big, interesting, soft colored background around behind there so that the ice cream really popped out front and center. The robot is called a Milo. It doesn't go as fast as this kind of a robot. This robot can go incredibly fast. It's built as starts out as an automotive assembly. It's a factory robot. It's for welding or painting or doing any kind of thing in a factory that's supposed to happen really fast. And Mark Roberts takes that robot and they get right into controlling the servo motors directly, which is what I like about their system, because there's no in between other systems. You have one piece of software saying, okay, Mr. Robot, we're going to tell your software what to do. We skip the software from the robot company and we go right after the robot. I don't go after it. They do.
All right. So ice cream, product that is not very durable on set, motion control, fast movement before the product goes bad. And you can capture that precisely. Right. Much more efficiently. What other frozen product could that be used? Ice cream, probably frozen, maybe some other products that are cold, like yogurt,
milkshakes, chocolate, which also has like a very, it's temperature sensitive, peanut butter, butter. There are a lot of things that.
Anything that is sticky, gooey, things like that, maybe caramel.
Yes, caramel
stuff
one.
Could use the same technique and the same type of process. So any products that has the same kind of textures. This can be featured in very similar ways to ice cream and a lot of desserts, probably maybe from the for the restaurant menus that offer this kind of fixings on their menu that would be useful type of shot.
Right.
To summarize this whole thing, how different is for you as a director of photography, like preparation for each of the shots in terms of technical preparation, budgets? What is the most expensive and time-consuming for you when you are doing this and shooting this kind of product?
I mean, the most expensive thing is what producers are most concerned about is overtime. They're worried about overtime because...
That's time and health.
That's exactly. So they are concerned about overtime. I certainly understand that because I don't really like working super long days. Not my favorite thing.
Yeah, because you get tired. It's a very physical work.
It's not. Yeah, when I was young, I used to think that was great. Work on making triple time. Go for it. See how long we can all stand up. I'm not a fan of that anymore. But I like to plan things out. I find that I can be, you know, fairly efficient that way. And just have everybody be honest about what are the deliverables? What do we really want to get? And I like working directly as closely as possible with the brand so that I can connect with what their needs and what makes their brand special so that the photography really highlights those things. That's my big point.
So using motion control, basically we can create very interesting images of the product that perhaps snapshots with iPhone won't do, and things that people show on Instagram won't really have the same effect. You know, using the macro shots, the special effects, showing the textures, motion around, building different environments, that really kind of allows the brand to present the product in completely different environment than just showing lifestyle or just some snapshots.
I think it complements their... is a super amount of value to, you know, what people are doing with social media. You've got all these people creating content for brands.
Creators.
But I think with professionals, you can get specifically what you want.
You guys, from my perspective as a creative director, this is really allows you to focus on this kind of shots and using motion control and tabletop in general allows you to focus on the properties and qualities of the product, which you won't be able to do by showing lifestyle shots or just some kind of flat images or, you know, even just like general video. This is something very, very specific that is important when you have product that is based on certain properties like crunch, you know, frozen texture, showing that. This is completely different genre when it comes to food advertising. There are products that are more suitable for that, you know, like carbonated drinks or ice cream, crispy products. But anything like that really causes the so-called drool effect, like people are actually interested in eating it and makes them feel hungry more than just looking at some kind of shots of, you know, medium frame, far away subjects. Sitting somewhere, you can make people much more hungry by showing this kind of shots.
Yes, you can.
All right. Is there anything else you would like to tell us about the motion control and your robots?
My robot's name is Dorothy. I named her.
I thought he was a man, not a woman.
It's my grandmother's name was Dorothy, and that was like kind of Wizard of Oz, and I just felt like it was I don't know. I didn't want to go with a guy's name on the robot. I originally thought I was going to name it Hammer, but somebody said, first time it smashes something on a set, you're never going to hear the end of it. So don't do that. But robots are, they're terrific tools. They're a tool just like any other tool. I still do shoots without the robot, and they're great shoots also. I'll have a couple of days of live action shooting, and then one day of robotic shooting.
But the robots are also great for shooting food action, consumption, when you want to track somebody putting food in the mouth or something, or eating, and you can really, you program robot to precisely do that.
You can do things, especially with very shallow depth of field, where you have somebody positioned and you can do, you know, with a lenses that are a very shallow depth of field, you can get very precise focus and have the camera moving quite rapidly and make very dramatic, expressive images.
So basically, using robot,
it's one of the
food and beverage industry is one of the most useful tools that really cuts off time of shooting, delivers huge precision when it comes to any type of close-up shots, any type of movement, when it comes to focusing on the texture of the food and making the food look really, really yummy.
Yeah.
And mouth.
And I think from my experience, I used all sorts of robotic systems. And then I finally decided that I wanted to have my own system that I could use for the majority of my work, and then I could become really fluent in it. And I'm working with Dennis McDonald, he's a technical wizard, and I've been working with him for over 30 years. I can't tell you what he does. He does secret voodoo technical stuff for secret companies, but he programs the robot. He programs all sorts of things. And we just have totally got this thing dialed in. So it makes it really fun to work with.
So this is the connection, food and meets technology.
Food meets technology.
The robots are not scary. They're not only used for packaging food and making food in the factory. They also use for advertising and making food commercials and photography and selling food. So
I started out in art school and pencils and
From drawing food.
He started
shooting food in the grass.
In the grass.
Shooting ice cream in the grass. And now he's shooting with the robot. And that sells so much better.
Marta asked me how I started doing this. I said, when I was in high school and I was taking a photography class, and I don't know why, but I went in, it was in my backyard, and I made a hot fudge ice cream sundae in the grass behind my house. And I photographed that, and it got ants and things crawling on it, and it looked beautiful. I don't know if it was, I have a picture of it. That's how I got started.
It probably would not have a commercial value, but
it did not have commercial value, but
you got the idea of getting the macro and close-up shots of this for the sandy that you just that commercial.
It got me into Rhode Island school design, so that's what that's what it did back then.
You had the ideas.
So anyway, this will be what I'm doing at the end of my career, which is closer to the beginning of my career.
So from getting food for pests to getting food for people through the tabletop.
It's all going to end up being food for pests in the end.
Well, so I guess this is it. Thank you so much, Stephen, for explaining all the robots to us and talking about all the content. Thank you very much, everybody, and look forward to seeing you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.